Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadik, and we are at the Mishnah, 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Tes Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekusil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shar Yashov ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Ya'il Bas Bela, Chizkiyo Shlomo Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, and Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Yechil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Alevi, Shloim Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we had a very welcome four daf respite from the intense Mesechta Shabbos Sugyas, Gemaras that dealt with Kabbalah Satorah, Maimed Har Sinai, Zman Matan Teresenu. We'll get back to the Agadata at the end of the daf, but for now we return to our regular program, which is the halachis of Shabbos, specifically the halacha of Hoitzah. So we're discussing different items. If one were to carry on Shabbos, how much of it would he have to carry in order to violate the 39th malacha, the malacha of Hoitzah, on the biblical level? Says the Mishnah, HaMoitzi, if somebody carries wood, Kedei Levashel Beitz HaKala, if he carries enough wood that he would be able to fuel a fire so that he'd be able to cook an egg, not just any egg, an egg that cooks really, really quickly, then he would violate the malacha of Hoitzah. Tavlin, if somebody carries spices, Kedei Letavel Beitz HaKala, if he carries enough spices that he can spice an egg, that's a Shir Chashuv, you carry that on Shabbos, you violate the malacha of Hoitzah. Umitztarfin Zeim Zeh. What if somebody carries a little bit of one spice and a little bit of another spice? So the halacha is the spices are mitztarif together to create the Shir. The Gemara will talk a little bit about that. Klipei Egoizim, if somebody carries the husks of nuts, Klipei Rimoinim, or pomegranate peels, Istisu Fua. These were plants that were used to dye things. So klipei agoizen, klipei rimoinim, istis ufua, hatzada shava shebahen, is that they were used to dye different items. So the halach is how much of it would you have to carry in order for it to be considered chashuv kedei litzbaya bohen beged katam pisvacha. Enough that you'd be able to dye the smallest beged. What's the smallest beged? So women used to wear a beged katan on top of their svacha, on top of their hat. So if you have enough dye to dye that little beged, you carry the shir chashuv, you'd violate the malach of Aitzah if you did it on Shabbos. Meir Aglaim, if somebody carries urine, neser or buris, kamulya v'ashlag, so these were all detergents, these were all types of soap, things that we use to wash clothing. So how much of it would you have to carry? What's the minimum amount that's considered a shir chashuv? Same idea, kedei lechabez beged katan, enough that you can wash a beged katan. What is a beged katan? Pisvacha, that little beged that was put on top of the woman's head. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kedei lahavir es hakesem." It would have to be enough for you to be able to remove a kesem. So once upon a time in the world of Tumah V'Tahira, if a woman had a kesem, dam nida, on her beged, so in addition to the Tumah V'Tahira implications as it related to the woman herself, the beged was also tameh. And the Mishnah Mesechtas Nida, it's a sugya and shas, discussed in detail exactly what the woman had to do to remove the kesem from her beged. Regardless, if you would carry enough of this detergent that you'd be able to remove a kesem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the shir, says the Gemara. The first thing that was mentioned in the Mishnah was HaMoitzi Eitz. If somebody carries wood on Shabbos, how much of it would you have to carry? Kedei Levashel Beitz HaKala, enough for you to be able to fuel a fire so that you can make an egg. Freik the Gemara Tanina Chalda Zimna. It sounds familiar because we had something very similar already. In fact, the Gemara asks it as a question. Kano, the Mishnah was discussing a reed. How much of it would you have to carry in order to be chayv on Shabbos? What's the minimum shir chashuv? So the Mishnah said, Kedei lasis kolmis. If it's big enough, you to be able to make a pen out of it. What if it was thick, or if it was rubbed out in a way that you couldn't make a kolmis from it? So then it's kedei levashel beitz hakala shebe beitza. So then the shir is not making a kolmis out of it, because you can't make a kolmis out of this reed. But rather, is it big enough you to be able to fuel a fire with it? What type of fire? A fire that would be big enough you to be able to cook an egg, not just any egg, a beitz hakala. The Gemara talked about which egg is considered a beitz hakala. Terufa, additionally an egg that's beaten unasuna be'ulfis, and it's in a frying pan. Regardless, isn't it the same thing? Meaning, if the minimum shear of a kana is kedei levashel beitzakala, then you would assume the minimum shear of eitzim is also kedei levashel beitzakala. So if that's the case, the Mishnah is being redundant. Although it's not literally the same thing. One is a kana, the other one is eitzim, but assuming that what the smallest usage of both of these items was to use as fuel, so you understand that it's kedei levashel beitzakala. So the Gemara says, no, there is a chiddush in this Mishnah. Because Ma'adotem, I would have thought, hasam over there by a kana, like chazal limit, feared. The only thing you can use a kana for is either a kulmis or to make a fire. Avaleitzim, but wood, the kazal, the kachadakli, that you can use it for something else. You can use it to make teeth for a key or teeth for a lock. Being that you can use it to make shinayim lemafteach, says Rashi, and that's smaller than the amount of wood that you would need to make a fire. So I would have thought afilu kolshu, maybe even if you carried a kolshu, which is the amount you would need to make this tooth for this key, so maybe you should be chayiv for that in itself. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. Then no, that wood is treated like a kana, and the minimum shear is the amount of wood that you would need to make a fire. What is that? Kedei levashel beitza kalov. Mishnah said, tavlin, what if somebody carries spices? Kedei letavl beitza kalov. Enough spice for you to be able to spice food. What type of food? Again, an egg, not just any egg, the beitza kalov. Right, the Gemara Ramid will ask you a ka. And then the Mishnah said that umitstarfim ze emze, that different spices are mitstarf with each other. Right, the Gemara, is that true? I'll ask you a question from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Arla, which is dealing with the laws of Arla. Tavlin, if somebody has spices that are Arla, shnayim v'gimel shem mois v'menach. What if you have two or three different types of spices? They're all from the same min, the same species of spices, but they're called different things. So for example, Rashi says different type of pepper, black pepper, white pepper. So it's min echad, but one is white pepper, one is black pepper. As a result, different shemes. Or if there were three completely different minim, the bottom line is, talach is asurim, they're all asur, meaning the laws of Arla relate to spices. Not just that, umitstarifim zemze, and the mitstarif for the shear of Arla. Amr Chizki said, that when is it true that different spices are mitzarif? It's only b'minei mesika shano. It's only if these are spices that a person would typically put in the same pot to spice food. So if you were making food and it called for different types of pepper, so you would add black pepper, white pepper, you would be mitzarif these foods in the real world. Then the halach is the mitzarif for the shear of arla. Now it sounds like, because this is something that sometimes used. So time of the chazal matik there. It sounds like the only reason these spices are mitzarif with regards to arla is because there are people sometimes put them together, halav hachiloi, but otherwise they wouldn't be mitzarif. What's the kasha? In our Mishnah, there's no such caveat. The Mishnah says, if somebody carries spices, enough kedei letavel beitzaktala, the halach is, if he did it on Shabbos, he'd violate the malach of etzomidei raisa. And then it said, umitzarifim zemzeh, and there's no fine print. It didn't say anywhere that it's only true b'mine mesika hoyo veruyin lamate kedeira. It sounds like any combination of spices, the halach is, would be mitzarif. So why is it that by arlo, the only time different types of spices are mitzarif is if it's b'mine mesika shanu hoyo veruyin lamate kedeira? These are spices that somebody sometimes puts together in a recipe, yet when it comes to Shabbos, the Mishnah made no such mention, says the Gemara, even though the Mishnah didn't say it. You have to say that it was implied in the Mishnah. And Chizkiah's comment on the Mishnah Masechtas Arla would be relevant to the Mishnah Masechtas Shabbos as well. So again, what's the minimum sheer tavlin of spices you have to carry in order to violate the Malach of Eitzah? It's kedei letavel beitza kala. What if somebody carried a little bit of this and a little bit of that? The halach is, it'd be mitzarif, but only if these are spices that somebody would sometimes put together when he's making food. Klipei agoizen, v'klipei rimoinim, sotis ufua, kedei letzpaya beged kofen. So what were those things? Different types of dyes. So these are things that somebody would use to dye a beged, for example. So the halach is, what makes it a shir chashuv? If it's big enough, you to be able to dye a beged katan. What was a beged katan? The little tchotchke that the woman wore on top of her head. I'll ask you a kasha. Is the minimum shir chashuv of dye the amount of dye that one would need to be tzoveya a beged katan? But we'll ask a kasha from a Mishnah earlier. Daf ayin tesam et alfa moitzi samonim shruyim. If somebody would carry dye that is soaking in water, so the halach is kedei letzpayim b'mdug malir. If you would carry enough that you'd be able to dye a small sample that the meichrim used to sometimes use, that would be enough for you to be chayev. What's the kasha? it's two different shiurim. Not just that, the shiur of our Mishnah is actually a larger shiur than the Mishnah Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. So what's the minimum shiur of dye that somebody would have to carry? Our Mishnah was talking about the plant that was soaked and ultimately processed until it could be used as a dye. The Mishnah talked about klipei agoizim, klipei rimoinim, istes ufua, hatzadah shavah shavem. These are all plants that are used for dye. And what was the shiur? Kidei litzbaya ben beged katan pizvacha. We had a Mishnah about 10 dafin ago, when the Mishnah again was talking about dai, samonim shiruyim, and it was a smaller shir. Kidei litzbaya behem dugma le'ira. So the Gemara says what it said already a few times in these sugyas. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravu, lefi she'en adam terech, lishroi samonim litzbaya behem dugma le'ira. If you have the finished product, if you have the actual dye, the dye that you could put on top of the beged, even if you have so little that all you could do is make a sample for the meicher, that would be considered a shir chashim. But if you have the plant, then it's not chashuv if it's so little that all you'd be able to make is the dugma li'ira. And the reason is because no one's going to take that little plant and go through the tircha, the headache of making this dye, for you to be able to dye a dugma li'ira. You're going to need a little bit more in order for anyone to ever do something with it. How much would you need? Enough to make a beged, the smallest beged, which is the beged that goes on the hat of the woman. Mei raglayim. The Mishnah then spoke about different things that we use as detergents. Mei raglayim, neser, uburis, kambuya, v'ashlag. And again, what's the minimum share? If it's enough for you to be able to wash a small beged. What's a small beged? The same thing. The beged katan that the woman wore on top of her head. Says the Gemara, Mei raglayim, urine was used as a detergent. You usually need detergent if there's urine. So where's Mei raglayim become the detergent? So the Gemara says, Tanu, we learned in a braisa, Mei raglayim ad ben Mem Yoim. And there's a Shiloh, what the proper girsa over here is. It sounds like at first glance, it's the Mei raglayim of someone that's less than 40 years old. Ben Meya. Right, Ben Arbaim Labina. That's what it sounds like. But the Rishonim say that why would that be the Gersa? So Rashi and Tosfos argue exactly what the Pshat is. We know that's probably not what it is, but what is it? So Rashi seems to say that urine, once it's 40 days old, at that point the properties change somewhat and you can use it to clean something. Regardless, that's what people did with it. And as a result, if somebody would carry enough of the Mei Raglayim for you to be able to wash a beged, the smallest beged, you would be chayav. What's Neser? Ton of Neser Alexandris. It's not all Nesser, but Dafka, the one that comes from Alexandria, Veloy Nesser Antan Pitrin, not the one that comes from Anpantrin. Buris, what is Buris? Amar Rav Yehuda Zechal saying, Fatanyo, Buris Fachol, can't be that Buris is saying. Because we have a Brisa that mentions Buris and Chol in the same breath. Clearly, they're not the same thing. Elamah Buris Kabrito, Meisve, Yosif Alei Machavitzin, Vahaliinun, Vahaburis, Vahoyol. What's the cash? If you're going to tell me that Buris is Kabrito, Kabrito mi Isa Vishvias, that Brisa that the Gemara just mentioned is a Brisa in the laws of Shvias. So it's talking about the laws of Shemitah. There's no way, says the Gemara, that Kabrito, without knowing what it is subject to the laws of Shemitah. Why? Because Vatang Rulun Tad Rice is Shvias. Anything that has a root is subject to the laws of Shemitah. Vicha Iker, but if it doesn't have a root, Ainla Shvias. And apparently, Kabrita doesn't have an Iker, it doesn't have a root. So the Gemara says, you can't tell me that Boiris is Kabrita, because if that's the case, it wouldn't be subject to the laws of Shvias, and we know it is subject to the laws of Shvias. Hosifu Aleim, it's one of the plants that the Chachamim added to the list of things that are subject to the laws of Shvias. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamai Boiris, what is it? Ahala. It's a hollow. Frank, the Gemara, but time we went to the Brai, so the Haboir is for a hollow. So again, it's mashmas, not the same thing. So the Gemara says, no, Tre Gavni a hollow. There's two different types of a hollow. In fact, that's what that Brisa means. Haboir is the a hollow. Boir is one type of a hollow, and a hollow is the other type of a hollow. Regardless, that's what it means. Kimulya is another detergent that the Mishnah mentioned. Amr Yehuda, what's that? Shloif Dutz. Ashlag. Amr Shmuel Shaltinu L'chol Nuchus HaYama. So this even Shmuel didn't know. He asked all the people that used to travel. He says, did you hear anything about this Ashlag? V'amruli, they told me, yes. It's Shunana Shmei. It's called Shunana. Okay. U'mishtakach benuk for the marganisa. The place you find it is inside pearls. U'mafkele beramza d'parzi. You need a special tool to be able to pull it out. The Mishnah continues again with the same thing. Palpeles. If somebody carries a pepper, kolshu. A kolshu of a pepper, you're already chayv. Itra. If somebody carries tar, kolshu, a little bit, tiny amount. Medium some mini matches. What if somebody carries different types of spices? Or somebody carries different metals, kolshu. Again, a kolshu wouldn't be enough for you to be chayv. Yavne mizbech. What if somebody would carry one of the stones of the Mizbeach, Umayofer Mizbeach, or some of the offer in the Mizbeach, as in the Mizbeach, with the Hei Ayodiyah, or Mekach Svarim, if somebody would carry Svarim, as in Sifrei Kodesh, that are decaying, Umekach Matpachoseyan, or some of the Matpachoseyan, the matbachos, some of the things that were used to wrap the svarim that decay. How much of it would you have to carry in order to be chayiv? Again, kol shu. And here we have a reason. Shematzniim oisom legoizon. So this reason is going back on the last few things we mentioned. Avnei mizbeach, ofar mizbeach, mekak svar, mekak matbachosayim. All these things were taught in Gneza. They all had some level of kedusha. As a result, even a little bit of it is considered chashiv. Why do you know it's chashiv? Because there's laws that relate to it. You have to hide it. You have to put in shemis. Right? Today, we put things in shemis. Once upon a time, there were things that were put in Gnezois. But regardless, being that it had to be hidden, so that gives it a chashiv. Rav Huda says, afa moitzi mishamshe v'edazara kolshu. Even if somebody would carry a v'edazara kolshu, I mean, if you carry part of them as beach kolshu, we understand. That requires Gneza. But the reverse, if somebody carries Avodah Zarah Kolshu, what's the big deal with carrying Avodah Zarah? It's not Chashuv. It doesn't need Gneza, says Rabbi Yehuda. No, Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says, V'yidbak b'yotcha mu'uma min hacherim. The halach is, you're not allowed to benefit even from a mashu. You have to get rid of even a mashu. So again, the mashu has chashivos. Not chashivos in the sense that it's a dover chashuv, but chashivus in the sense that there are laws that relate to it, that it's something that's important because it's subject to psukim in the Torah. Even a tiny bit, if that's true, that means a tiny bit is considered chashuv. Somebody would carry a tiny bit of it on Shabbos, he would be chayiv. So the Mishnah said a bunch of things, what the shear is as it relates to being chayiv. The Gemara is going to go through all of them. Pilpeles was the first thing mentioned, pepper. Pilpeles, if you carry a kolshu, you're going to be chayiv. My chazir, what was it used for? So the Gemara says, l'reicha peh. So if somebody had bad breath, he would carry a palpeles. This is probably not the palpeles that we're thinking of, but regardless, whatever exactly this pepper is, it was used as an antidote for bad breath. Itron kol shehu. What was itron used for? So the Gemara says, l'may chazu l'tzilchasa, if someone has a headache, mine besomim, kol shehen, tanu rabbanan, maitzi reyach ra. If somebody carries a reyach ra, so the halach is kol shehu. Shemen toiv, if somebody carries good oils, again, kol shehu. Argomon, if somebody carries purple wool, kol shehu. Upsula saverit, if somebody carries a rose, achas. One rose is already enough to be chayav. What's reyach ra? So Rashi says that this reyach ra was used sometimes to cure children. So if a child wasn't well, and it was deemed that the reason this child wasn't well is because he was overcome by a mazik. So they would sometimes bring something that had a reyach ra, and they would cause the mazik to go away. The point is, all these things are ashir chashav, and as a result, if you carry an achabis, you're going to be chayav. Me and matches is kol shehu. If somebody carries metal, even a matches, he's going to be chayav. So what's it going to be useful? Tiny cotton. Even a tiny bit of metal you can use, and you can make a very small part for the axe goad. But the point is something very, very small. There's always something you could do with a little bit of metal. Tanur Rabbanan, this note. What if somebody makes a nether? He says, I want to donate barzel to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the minimum shear chashuv as it relates to barzel? Acher Moimrin, also known as Rameyer, lo yifchais me amma al amma. He has to give at least an amma by an amma, one square amma worth of barzel. It sounds like amma al amma, that's like a shir chashuv. That's something that the Beis HaMikdash could use. What would they do with this amma al amma of metal? Rabbi Yosef said, the kal yo'erev was actually used for something. There was something known in the Beis HaMikdash as the kal yo'erev. What it was an amma al amma, it was metal, and they used to put it on top of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would put something pointy on top of it. Point was, they didn't want animals, birds to congregate on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. This was just practical that they would put there. These little plates, each one was amma al amma. So if somebody says, arei alei barzel, so what's the smallest amount of barzel you can use in the Beis HaMikdash? You have this amma al amma. Some say, Acherim Moimrim lo yifcheis mikal yo'erev. Acherim didn't say amma al amma, but rather Acherim said it should be small enough that you can use it for a kal yo'erev. The kama, how big was that? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, amma al amma. So the two lishonos in the Gemara are the same difference. They're essentially saying the same thing. Again, the Braisa said, ha'oimer harei olai barzel. How much do you have to give? The short answer is, an amma al amma. What's the methodology? How do we come up with amma al amma? Because you can use an amma al amma barzel in the Beis HaMikdash l'kal yo'erev. To put on top of the roof, you put these panels up like this, no birds are going to congregate there. The two lishonos in the Gemara was, Acherim, the Tanner Rameyer, did he say, lo yifches me amma al amma? Rabbi Yosef explained why you would need the amma al amma l'kal yo'erev. Or did Rameyer say, l'kal yo'erev? Rabbi Yosef explained that the shir is amma al amma. Says the Gemara, nechoshes. What if somebody says, harei olai, not barzel, but harei olai nechoshes, I want to give copper to the Beis HaMikdash. Lo yifches me ma'o kesef. You have to give enough nechoshes that it equals a ma'ah, that's a coin of kesef. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer, Yifches Metzinoir, Ketana Shal Nechayishis. He had a different share. He said the minimum share is a small tzinar, a small mazleg, a small fork that was made of Nechayishis. My chazer, what was that used for? Amar Abayish, Mechad, the Masa, Psil, the Mekan, Chesach, Neiris. They used to use it to clean the Neiris, they used to clean the Menorah with it. Mekak, Sfar, Mekak, Matachas. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Mekak, the Sifri. So a Mekak, in this context, means a worm. The worms that are sometimes found in old Svarim, Techach de Shiroi. Techach is also a worm. The worms that were found in silk, the Ilo de Envy, it was also a worm. The worms that were found in grapes, Anovim, Upe de Teini, Pe is also a worm. The worms that were found in Teinim, figs, the He de Rimoini, He is also a worm. The worms that were found in Rimoinim, these are five different types of worms. They're clearly all a little different. They were found in different places. They have different names. But Hatzad HaShova Shebehem, Rabbi Yehuda said, is Kulus HaKanta. They're all dangerous. On that note, the Gemara says it was a Talmud that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Havakachal Teini, he was eating figs. Amalei Rabbi. So the Talmud turned to Rabbi Yochanan and said, Rabbi, Kutzin Yesh B'Teinim. I think there are thorns inside the Teinim. So Rabbi Yochanan understood what it was. It wasn't a thorn. What it was a worm. Malay told him, Katle Peladain, unfortunately you just ate peh, you just ate this worm. It's very, very dangerous, and you're going to die. Hamoitzi kupas haroichlin. If somebody carries a kupa, that's a basket that has different types of besamim that the ruchel, the infamous ruchel, used to sell back in the day. So the ruchel was a peddler. The Gemara talks about the ruchel in different places. He was a chashad on different averis. But the bottom line is that this ruchel had a kupa, a little basket, he used to keep all the schayra that he used to sell. So if somebody carries the kupas haruchal on Shabbos, so the question is, he carried a whole bunch of things. Many of the things that we just talked about, he might have carried. So how many times did he violate Shabbos? If he did have a shaykh, how many chatois would he have to bring? One for each item? Or just one? Says the Mishnah, even though he carried a whole bunch of different things, El chatas achas. He only has to bring one chatas. Why? Rashi says, the kula chada hoitzahi. Because at the end of the day, it's deemed to have been one act of hoitzah. Zaroi negino. If somebody carries plants that are used in a garden, pachas megroigris, he'll be chayiv even if it's less than a groigris. What's the point of pachas megroigris? Because we know that groigris is an important shear when you talk about hoitzah on Shabbos. Groigris is one of the Shiurim that I mentioned in the pasuk that talks about the Shivas Aminim. Eretz Chita, Vesoira Gefen, Uteena. Teena is a groigris. And when it comes to carrying foods on Shabbos, the shear is always a groigris. So you would think maybe Zarei Negina should also be a groigris. So the Mishnah doesn't tell us what the shear is. But the Mishnah says it's less than a groigris. It's not subject to groigris. It's not a food. Rabbi Yudam says Chamisha. You want to know if you carry seeds, how many seeds do you have to carry in order to be chayev? Five. Zerei Kishurim. If somebody carries cucumber seed, shnayim. Two. Zerei Diluim. Somebody carries the seeds of a gourd, shnayim, two. Zera pula mitzri, also shnayim. Chag of chai, if somebody carries a live grasshopper, tar, if it's a kosher grasshopper, kolshu, you're already be chai. Mace, if it's dead, kegroigris, then a groigris. If it's alive, it's not food. You'll be chayiv even for a kol shehu. If it's dead, then it's food. If it's food, then it's subject to the shear of groigris. Again, it's kosher grasshopper. Some grasshoppers are kosher. Tzipoyrus crumb. Somebody carries tzipoyrus crumb, which is a type of grasshopper. Bein chayiv, bein mesa. Doesn't matter if it's alive, whether it's dead. Kol shehu, the halacha is always a kol shehu. And the reason is, shematzin, oisel refu. They used to use it for refu. The Gemara is going to talk about what refu was used for. But it had some sort of therapeutic usage. And as a result, if you carry a kol shehu, it's enough for refu, you're going to be chayiv. Even if somebody carries a chag of chai, he carries a live grasshopper, that's tome kol shehu, you're going to be chayiv. And the reason is because it was used sometimes for children to be able to play with it. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Zok de Gemara. Viriminu. I'll ask you a question. So we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. If somebody carries seeds, so how much of the seeds would he have to carry on Shabbos in order for him to be chayiv? So zaroi negina pachas mika groigus. So we didn't say roimer chamisha. Zera kishuim shnayim, zera diluim shnayim, zera pula mitzri shnayim. Says the Gemara, I'll ask you a question. We had a Mishnah earlier that talked about fertilized sand. How much of it would you have to carry in order to be chayiv? Zevel. V'choyl hadak, k'dei lezavel kelach shal krov. As long as you carry enough for you to be able to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. That's enough for you to be chayiv Rebbe Akiva. It has to be enough for you to be able to fertilize leek. But the bottom line is, even if it's enough, you don't need a whole bunch of seeds. As long as it's enough to fertilize one vegetable, it's already enough for you to be chayiv. How does it shtim? Rapapa said, again, the same thing. We saw this earlier in the daf. We saw this several times in the last little while. And that is, there's a difference between a fertilized and not fertilized. Fisha ein adam terech lohitzi ni machas lizriya. Nobody is going to go through the tircha of being chayrish and zayreya and do everything that he needs to do to sow and to plant if all he's going to get out of it is one little one stalk of cabbage. He's never going to do it. If you already have the zevel, if you already have the chayl hadak, so then you'll go through the tircha of taking it to the next level to get your one stalk of cabbage, to get your leek. But go ahead and plant for that you won't do. So you need a sheer chash of what somebody would physically do with the plant. Zera kishu and tanu rabbanon. If somebody carries pits, if the purpose of the pits is to plant, shtayim, two. That's the sheer chash. It's meant to eat, so people don't eat it. You give it to the chazer. So it's kamloi pi chazer, the amount that you would need to fill up the mouth of the chazer. Vekama maloi pi chazer, achas, one. Im lahasik, if the reason you have these garinim, the reason you're carrying them is because you're using it as fuel. Kidei levashel beitzakala. We know what the shear when it comes to fuel is. Im lecheshmein, if you're using it to count. So you're using it as a marker for you to be able to keep score of something. Shtayim, two. Acheremayim chamish. Tanu rabbanan. Amayis shtei nimin. If somebody carries 2 hairs, means znav asos, from the tail of a sos, umiznav aparo, or from the tail of a paro, chayiv. So 2 hairs, you already be chayiv. What can you do with 2 hairs of a horse's tail? Shematznian, oisa lenishbet. They would use it sometimes to make nets. Miksha shal chazer. If somebody carries the miksha of a chazer, so Rashi says these are the nimen kashin, literally the hard hairs shebeshedra shal chazer that are on the shedra, on the spine of the chazer, something pointy on the spine of the chazer. So how much of it do you have to carry? Not bichayv achas one. Tsuri dekel. If somebody would carry, says Rashi, these are palm fronds that are klufim, they've been peeled. How much of it would you have to carry to bichayv shtayim? Two. Tori dekel. Rashi teaches that as siv. Siv is the vine that grows around the palm tree. Achas one, you would already be chayv. Tziporis kromim. Bein chayv bein mesakol. Then the Gemara got involved with grasshoppers. But first, we're going to talk about this tziporis kromim. This is some type of arba. And if somebody would carry even a tiny bit of it, doesn't matter if it's alive, if it's dead, you'll be chayv because it's already considered chashuv. What could you do with something so small? Matzin oisel rafu was used for a rafu. So what kind of a rafu is this? Says the Gemara, tzipar is kromer Rav. First of all, Rav said tzipar is kromer is palya biari. Okay, I'm rabbi. What do you do with it? Umeshtachlich bedikla. It was found on a dekel, a palm tree, the chadnevar, that only had one vine going around it. Va'abdi le'lechuchmasa. It was used, it was eaten, it was considered a skula to become a chacham. Achale le'palga di'amina. What people would do is they would eat the right half of it. They would cut it in half. They would eat the right half. Upalga the smaller, the left half. So you have to follow carefully. Rabbele begufsa de nachsha. They would put it inside a gufsa, inside a little something that was made out of copper. The chasam, and then they would seal it b'shitin gushpanki with 60 seals. V'tolei be'evar, they would hang it on the smaller. They put it on one of their left evarim. It doesn't say which aver, but see manich, and a good way to remember which half you eat and which half you put on your aver is lev chacham liyaminai. You're doing this for chachma, so you're supposed to eat the right half. For lev ksilas smoylai, says the Gemara, v'chacham kamedabai, v'gomer kamedabai. This is tremendous. You can be as smart as you want, you can know as much as you want. V'achale l'idach paga, then you would eat the other half. Make sure you eat the other half. That's very important. The eloi, because if you're not going to eat the other half, miakir talmudai, what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up forgetting your learning. If you look at Rashi says, what does it mean? It opens up your heart. So maybe matim, with some of the ray that we spoke about last week with Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, leif toiv means that ein kol dover oimed b'fnei haratzon, that if a person has a leif, you have a desire, you have a drive, you can accomplish whatever you want. What's the lashon of the Gemara? V'chacham kamed debay. You can be as smart as you want. I mean, how smart are you going to be? Kamed debay. V'gomer kamed debay. It's leif chacham liyaminai. Rashi seems to be emphasizing psach libi b'soira secho, yiftach libeinu. It has something to do with the chachma that's in the lev. Maybe it gave you drive. I have no idea. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, afa moitzi. So again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah as it relates to how much of a grasshopper would somebody have to carry in order for him to be chayiv on Shabbos. So the Mishnah said like this, just going back to the Mishnah. Chagov chay tar kolshu. If you carry a live grasshopper,
If it's kosher, a kosher, you're going to be chayv. Mace, if it's not alive anymore, kegregris, then you'd have to carry a gregris. The assumption is, if it's alive, then it has some sort of hishtamshus, even if it's a kosher. If it's dead, now it's food already. The only thing you would do with it is you would eat it. It's kosher, you could eat it, so then it falls into the box. The share of food is always going to be a gregris. Rabbi Yehuda said, that even if you would carry a live non-kosher grasshopper, that's a kosher, you would be chayev. And the reason is because that too has a purpose. What's the purpose? Because the kids would play with it. So what's the machlokes in the Mishnah? The machlokes is if somebody carries a live grasshopper that's not kosher, a kosher of it, are you going to be chayev or you're not going to be chayev? The Tanakama went out of his way to say chag of chay tohor kosher, you're going to be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda said no. Rabbi Yehuda said af. What does af mean? I agree with what you said, but I'm adding hamoitzi chag of chay tomei. Even if the grasshopper that's alive wasn't kosher, even if it wasn't kosher, the halach is you'll be chayev for a kosher. Why? Rabbi Yehuda explained the shita. Shematzni and oisa lekatan l'schayk by, because the children would play with it sometimes. Says the Gemara, but Tanakama sova like, clearly Tanakama argues. My time, what's the reason? Doma achle, because fathers would not allow their children to play with non-kosher grasshoppers. You know why? They were afraid they might eat it. And if they eat it, they're going to violate the halacha. And says Rashi, even though katan oichol neveilois ain't best in mitzuvim lafrisha, it's one of the sugis that are coming up in the end of the mesechta, but at the same time, lo yisachilum lahazer gedolim alaktalim, nobody would go give their child something not kosher if they thought there's a chance the child might eat it. So according to the Tanakama, fathers wouldn't give their children this non-kosher grasshopper. That's why it's not used by the katan to play with. That's why if you carry a mashu of it, you're not going to be chayv. Says Rehachi Torah Nami. If that's the case, then why a kosher grasshopper? Why a kosher grasshopper does the Tanakama hold if you carry even a kosher, you're going to be chayv? The reason probably is because the child's going to play with it. Problem is, why is the father not concerned that the child might eat the kosher grasshopper while it's alive? Says the Gemara. How do I know that's a problem? The Rav Kahana, Avakon, Kamei Rav, because Rav Kahana was once by Rav. And he took a grasshopper, he was putting it on his mouth. Amalei, so Rav told him, Shokle, put it down. You look like you're eating it. And there's a maris ayin problem. You may come to be over, meaning you're not allowed to eat alive kosher grasshopper either. So if we're concerned that he may eat the grasshopper, so the father shouldn't let him play with the light. So the mother says, no, it's very different. The father's not concerned that the child's going to eat the grasshopper while it's still alive. Kosher or not kosher, that's probably not something that's going to happen. The issue is something else. Dilma Mayas. The father's afraid that the child's going to be playing with the grasshopper. It's going to die, v'achale, and he's going to eat it. So if it's kosher, it's not a problem. If it's not kosher, it is a problem. Hence the concern. For Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? He's not concerned that the child may eat the non-kosher grasshopper after it dies. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, imayis, if the grasshopper dies, katan, not only is he not going to eat it, but mispat safadle, he's going to give it a hespid, he's going to eulogize that he had a relationship with this grasshopper. He's not just going to go ahead and eat it. To the contrary, he's going to mourn it. And because he's going to mourn it, so it's for that reason, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not worried that he's going to eat it. Now, the truth is, we can stop here and talk about this last Gemara. We have raid bites on this. It came up in Masechta Schulin. Fish. Or grasshoppers. Something that's kosher, but at the same time, there's no halacha of shchita. Is there an isser to eat it alive? Or is there no isser to eat it alive? Can you eat a live grasshopper? So at first glance, it would seem to be a mefurish gemara, not bal tishaktsu. What about fish? So this is it's a discussion. There's a Rashi and a Tosfos in Masechtas Chulin, ve'en kama koymer laharech. But before we say hadron halach, Amar Rabbi Akiva, I just wanted to go back one more day and speak a little bit about some of the raid of the last few daf, and specifically the last gemara that we learned in yesterday's daf. It's classic Divrei Agada. It's Divrei Agada that's quoted in the world of Agada, in the world of Halacha. It's quoted in Shuvas of Gedolei Yisrael, as we're going to see in a moment. It's a Gemara that's Hafeichba, the Hafeichba, the Kulugba. It's a Gemara that we've talked about many times in the past, but the Ein Beis Medrash Beloi Chiddush. And that is as follows. The Gemara on the Peites Amid Beis brought a memra that Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Reb Yoinesen. He was quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya Samach Gimel. Ki ato avinu, ki Avram lo yudonu, v'Yisrael lo yakironu. Ato Hashem avinu, goyalenu, mei oylam shemecha. A very cryptic pasuk. Said Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, I was mekabel from my Rebbe Reb Yoinesen, that this pasuk is describing an event that's going to take place in the future. When? La'asid lavoi, says the Gemara. Yoyim alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. It's going to be the end of days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go to Avram Avinu, our ancestor. And he's going to say, Avram, banecha chatu, your son sinned. What am I supposed to do? I want to bring the geula. The time has come. But they have no schusim. Banecha chatu. What should I do? I'm at lefanov. So Avram Avinu is going to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, if they sin, yimach ha'akdusha shemecha. Do to them what they deserve to be done to them. They deserve to die. Amar. So Hashem is going to say, I see that Avram Avinu is not telling me what I want to hear. Emelei le'Yaakov. Maybe I should go to Yaakov Avinu. Havelei tzar gidol banim. Maybe he's going to view it differently. So the Gemara says, Hashem is going to go to Yaakov Avinu. He's going to say, Banecha Chatu. And amazingly, Yaakov Avinu is going to say exactly what Avram Avinu said. He's going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, if that's what happened, Yimach HaKadosh Shemecha. Amar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say that I see the Zayd Avram Avinu is not telling me a good reason. And I see that the Yaakov Avinu is not giving me an Eitzah either. Amalei the Yitzchak. So as a third option, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go to Yitzchak. He's going to say, Banecha Chatu. Amar Lefanu Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara says, said Rabbi Yonasan, Yitzchak is going to turn to Hashem. And he's going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Banai V'loi Banecha. He's telling me Banecha Chatu as if they're my sons and they're not your sons. B'shashu K'tiv L'fanecha Nasa L'nishma. When the Yidden said Nasa V'nishma, Karasalem, what did you refer to them as? B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. Achshav, now that they sinned, all of a sudden they're not your sons anymore. Oh, when they do good, they're your sons, and now they're my sons. Banai V'loi Banecha. So one thing said Yitzchak Avinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're our sons. They're not my sons, they're not your sons. They're our sons. V'oy, then Yitzchak continued. He said, Kama Chatu. How much or how many averus could the Yidden have already done? How long does a person even live? Shivim shana. A person lives 70 years. So he said, Dal esrim shana, take 20 years. The first 20 years a person doesn't get punished for. So you're left with 50 years. Out of the 50 years that a person even has in the cheshben. So half day, half night. If that's the case, at night, nobody can really do averus. So you have to knock out of the 50, 25. What you're left with is 25 years. So he said, out of the 25 years, dal taltis riupag, another 12 and a half years have to be deducted, like a good Jewish accountant. He said that saluye, you daven, umechel, and you eat, ude beis hakisei, you spend time in the beis hakisei, pashalu taltis riupag. So you're left with 12 and a half years. Meaning it started with 70 years. It's not 70 years. It's 12 and a half years, because the first 20 years don't count. So what you're left with is 50. Added the 50, 25 don't count because it's night. What averus are you going to do at night? So you love a 25. Added the 25, half of the 25, a person's davening. A person is in the Beis HaKisei. A person is eating. That's 12 and a half years worth of a 70-year life. So if that's the case, the whole story is 12 and a half years. So Yitzchak Avinu is going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matis Leiv L'Skul L'Mutu, if you're willing to take all 12 and a half years, then that's great. V'im Lav, Pal Golai, V'Pal Golecho. And V'im Tim Tzolayim HaKulam Alai, if you feel you're not willing to take anything, you need me to take the whole 12 and a half years. Hakrivas nafshi kamach. I already gave up so much. I gave up my life. I gave myself up on the Akedah. Says the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be moved by Yitzchak Avinu's emotional plea, and he is going to agree to the cheshbin that Yitzchak Avinu made, and as a result, there's going to be a geula. And the Yidden are going to realize then at the end of days that the reason there's a geula is because of Yitzchak. It wasn't Avram, it wasn't Yaakov, it was Yitzchak. Va'amru, and they're going to say, Ato Avinu. They're going to turn to Yitzchak and they're going to say, you're our real father, not Avram, not Yaakov. They said, Yimacha Akdusha Shanecha, it's you, Yitzchak Avinu. Amalem Yitzchak. So Yitzchak Avinu is going to say, Ata Mekal Sali, Kosula Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't give me the shvach, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the shvach, umachvelu Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu beinayu, miyad nasu einayim lamorim, they're all going to turn to Hashem and they're going to say, Ato Hashem avinu goyaleinu me'oilam shemecha. So this Gemara right here is, again, there's so much in this Gemara, but we'll mention one dvar halacha, sort of, and one dvar agado. The dvar halacha is that the first thing Yitzchak Avinu told HaKadosh Baruch when he made his cheshbon. So we started off with 70 years of averus. It sounds horrible. And then out of the 70 years, Yitzchak was able to dilute it down to 12 and a half years. How did he do it? He went through it methodically. The first thing he said was the first 20 years don't count. He says, the first 20 years count? We know they don't count. Why? Because for 20, what happens, the first 20 years in Shemayim, they don't punish for anyways. Now the truth is, this idea that in Shemayim, a person doesn't get punished for what he does during the first 20 years of his life is something that we all know. And it's because Rashi and Chumash brings it not once, Rashi brings it twice. Rashi brings it in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara. Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. But the Torah doesn't say she lived 127 years. It said she lived 100 years, and she lived 20 years, and she lived 7 years. Says Rashi, the first Rashi in Parashas Chayesaro. Why did the Torah break it up? Meyashanav, Esrim Shanav, Sheva Shanav. It should have said 120 years. So Rashi says there's a drasha over here. That when Sarah Imenu was 100, she was like she was 20. And when she was 20, she was like she was 7. What does it mean when she was 100, she was like she was 20? When a person is 20 years old, he or she has no averos. And the reason is because in Shemaim, they don't punish a person for anything that a person did before he was 20. So if you have no averos up until you're 20 years old, so bas chof is beleichet. Sorry, man, when she was 100, she was like she was 20 without having done an avera. The other place Rashi brings it is in Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach, Hadas Korach, Dasan Aviram, they were all punished very, very terribly. The earth opened up and everybody was swallowed up. Anoshim, noshim v'taf. Says Rashi, Boyurei, take a look. Kamakosha machlekes. Look how horrible machlekes is, because ordinarily we have a rule that until a person is 20 years old, he doesn't get punished from Shemayim. And yet you have over here, it was anoshim, it was noshim v'taf. You see that everybody was punished. So if everybody was punished, you see from here that machlekes must be very, very chomer. So Rashi in two places, two classic Rashis. In the beginning of Parashas Chayesara, tucked away in Parashas Korach, that is this idea that even though, of course, a person will have to give din v'cheshbon on everything that he does, but in Shemayim, they don't punish a person for averos that he does before he turns 20 years old. What's the makar to it? Is there a gemara? Yeah, there's a gemara right here. Shabbos, daf pei tes amud beis. Now, the truth is that from reading Rashi and Chumash, and certainly from learning this gemara right here, it would seem that this idea that in Shemayim they don't punish a person until he's 20 years old means that a person will never ever be punished for anything that he did from the time he was born until he turned 20. So once he turns 20, at that point, all bets are off. But until a person turns 20, he will not be punished. That's what Yitzchak Avinu was telling Hashem. Yitzchak Avinu was telling Hashem, save Klal Yisrael. He says, why? Because through the cheshbon, how many averes could a person have possibly have done? The first 20 years don't, what do you mean the first 20 years don't count? The first 20 years don't count? Yeah, the first 20 years don't count. So the simple reading of the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, sorry, man, it was 100, she was kibas chof b'leichet. What do you mean kibas chof b'leichet? There's no chet, avera is not an avera. We know there's something called bar mitzvah, ben yud gimel the mitzvah is, but what does that mean? So it sounds like from the simple reading of the Gemara that although there's an idea of chatas neurim starts after a person celebrates his 20th birthday, so it's a celebration, but there's like another Baruch Shapatrani going on over here, because now a person suddenly going to be responsible for the averus that he does. Now a person moving forward is going to potentially be punished for the averus that he did. But the truth is that if you take a look in the Gedoyle Apoiskim, the Chacham Tzvi, the Chavis Yor, the Noida Yehuda, and the Chassam Sofer, to name four. They all wrote shuvas that somehow crossed over with this idea. And Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, they all said the same thing. They said there's no way in the world that that's possible. It's not possible, said the Achroinim, that a person has a free pass, and no matter what he does up until the age of 20, he's going, just to quote L'Shoinei Azov of the Noida Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau, this is in a tshuva, it's in Yerideya Chelik Beis, Yerideya Tunyana, Simen Kuf, Samach Dalet. The Nebi Yehuda says as follows. He says, "Uladaiti gam king loy mistaber shaloyia shum oyne shamayim ala adam koydim esm shana." That a person will never be punished for what he did before he was 20 years old. Because if that's the case, nimtza oylem hefker. That means it's going to be anarchy. A person's going to be able to do whatever he wants. You can do anything. You can kill people. You can loot. Maybe even if there are Eidim. You can do whatever you want. You can do all that various. There's no din v'cheshbon. Did the Eibush to put us on the world that there should be total anarchy? That there should be no din v'cheshbon? Said the night, it's not possible. So he says, it's v'ladaiti. Loi mistaber. He says, I don't have a great raya. In fact, it's much more not like me. But loi mistaber. Why? Because if that's the case, nimtza oylem hefker. He says it's not possible that that's what it is. And again, this same sentiment was expressed more from the svara, the logical perspective, that even though Chazal said it, but you have to understand, you have to know what Chazal meant, because it's not possible that a person has a free pass up until he's 20. Truth is that all these tshuvas are worth going through. They all deserve their own raid bite. And at some point over the years, I think we've touched on I think all of them. The Chacham Tzvi's Tshuva. The Chacham Tzvi was the earliest of all these Gedolim. The Chacham Tzvi's Tshuva was written to answer a famous kasha, a kasha from the Maral Prague. So the Maral was a big Baal Machshava, but some of the kashas that the Maral asked circulate in the Kaisle Beis Medrash, in the world of Lumbus, and this is one of them. There's a kasha that the Maral Prague asked. He said that if in Shemaim they don't punish a person until he turns 20 years old, that means a person can't get karis before he's 20. Because karis is a form of misa bidei shamayim. In fact, the Rishonim struggle to understand what the difference is between karis and misa bidei shamayim. But it's an oinish bidei shamayim. It's not something that's executed by a bezdin. It's something that happens from on top. It's something that happens by the bezdin shamayim. It's a freitim around me, praga kasha. We know when does a person bring a carbon chatos. We just learned parakal gadol. We learned the sugyas of chatos. Christos not so long ago. When do you bring a carbon chatos? If you do an aver b'shoy, but not any aver. An aver that had you done amazing, you would have been chayiv karis. So the maral asked a bumba kasha. His kasha was that I don't understand. He says if a person is not chayiv karis until he turns 20, because in Shemaim they don't punish a person until he turns 20 years old. So that means someone that's less than 20 should never be able to bring a karbon chatos. And we know Chazal say that when a person turns a kohen can't bring a karbon, but once he comes bar mitzvah at that point, you could bring karbonos. This is the Maral's kasha. Incidentally, the Chassam Sofer in his tshuva and Kuf Samach Dalet, he brings this kasha from the Maral and he says on this kasha shari terutzim loy ninalo. Says there were many terutzim that were said to answer this kasha, but this was the subject of the Chacham Tzvi. His kasha. It's in Chelek Aleph, it's She'ela Memtes. He came to answer this kasha, and that's where he says Toich Dvar. He says a lot in that tshuva. But Toich Dvar, this is what he brings out. He says, of course, it doesn't mean that there's no karis. It doesn't mean that a person is not going to be punished for an avera that he did before he was 20 years old. The Neid Yehuda's tshuva. The tshuva that we just mentioned right now. So he was discussing a child that was born, and Rachmana Litzlan died very shortly after it was born, and it was buried without giving it a bris milah. And the minig is, if a child is born even before 8 days old, so what they do is they give it a bris milah. But v'shakchu l'moylei kodem kvurasai, they forgot to bury this child. And someone asked the Noi de Yehuda, should they take the child out of its kever to give it a bris milah? Now, the child is not chayev in bris milah, but the question was that there's an inyan of cherdas hadin. That in Shemaim, there's a din v'cheshbin for everything that a person does. And al pi Kabbalah, there's a concept maybe of cherdas hadin, even for a katan. And this was the question, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, the Shoyal asked, the Noid B'Yehudi wanted to know, is there a cherdas hadin for a katan? Is the katan going to have to give din v'cheshbin? If the katan's going to have to give din v'cheshbin, we should give the katan a bris milah. So this was the context where the Noid B'Yehuda discussed this shayla. Again, these were all real halachic shaylas. So the Noid B'Yehuda discussed it by saying that you want to know if this Cherdas Adin. So the first thing that comes to mind is Chazal. Chazal say that up until a person's 20 years old, there's no Einche B'dinei Shemayim. So if there's no Einche B'dinei Shemayim, so what's the Cherdas Adin? Now it doesn't say there's no Schar. So maybe the Schar said the Rebbe Yehuda, but I think as far as Einchem go, it doesn't sound like there's Einchem. So if there's no, but that's what Rebbe Yehuda said. It's not Mestavri. So I don't think that's the case. So if that's the case, if you're worried about Cherdas Adin, then presumably there is Cherdas Adin. The Chassam Sofer's tshuva, the tshuva that the Chassam Sofer has, where he talks about this, and this is in Yoredeya Kuf Nun Hey. This is where the Chassam Sofer discusses it. It was a tshuva that was written to a person that was Bayol Nida. It was Bayol Nida, it was Beshaygig. He goes through the circumstances with a vest, exactly how this all played out. But it was Bayol Nida. And the Chassam Sofer writes back to the Shoyal like this, Umashe Ramasta, you were Miramis in the tshuva, you made mention that the woman, the Nida, was less than 20 years old. So he says, I'm not 100% sure why you said that, but Nira Daitach, I'm going to be Medayik in the Shiloh, that probably what you felt was that she's not a Bas Oinshin. That being that she's not a Bas Oinshin, so maybe this is not something that she has to worry about. Says the Chassam Sofer, Zeloi Nimtze B'Shas. Everybody has a problem with this line in the Chassam Sofer. Zeloi Nimtze B'Shas? What is this? Shabbos Peites on the base is not Shas? It is Shas. Chassam Sofer meant it's not a halacha. Rak Pedrushe Yagoda V'kvar Kosvu Mizeho Achroinim Shein Lismoy Chazer Klal. Who did he mean? He meant his predecessors. He meant the Chavis Yor, he meant the Noid Behuda, he meant the Chacham Tzvi. But either way, the Chassam Sofer went on and he said the same thing. He says, there's no way this should be taken literally. What? There's a lot in that tshuva. One of the things the Chassam Sofer told the Shoyal in that tshuva is, he told him as it relates to your tshuvas, he laid out for him a Seder HaTshuva. So he said that one of the things that I want you to know is the ikur gadol b'tshuva asher nir l'anias daiti. We mentioned this once, that an ikur gadol in tshuva is the kvar kavati kein le'echa, and I've told this to others as well, is that if a person did an avera and he's living with remorse, he's living with regret for the avera that he did, so he should try to remember the avera as much as possible. You can't always remember. Right? He said, I have an etzah. The etzah is that a person should remember the day that he did that avera, and he should commemorate a yard site for it. That's the word that the Chasam Sofer used. He should even fast on that day. But at the very least, he said he should do tshuva. So this is what he told him. He gave him a way to be v'chatasi negdi somed. He said you could be yotze, maybe tamed with that as well. Once a year, maybe that would be enough. Like you remember Amalek, once a year, you mekayim lois ishkach. So once a year, there'll be a yartzeit. Maybe that would be enough for you to be able to be yotze. The tshuva of the Chavis Yar is also a beautiful tshuva. It was written to his Talmud, Rab David Oppenheim, who was one of the greats of the late 17th century, early 18th century. Eventually became the Rav in Prague. He preceded the Noida B'Yehuda. But there was a tshuva that the Chavis Yar wrote to Rav David Oppenheim. It's fascinating. History and these tshuvas are beautiful. Each one of them. But regardless, this is the point. Kulon ki ish echad, b'lev echad, Cham Tzvi, Chavis Yar, Noida B'Yehuda, Chasam Sofer, they all said the same thing. That even though Chazal said that the person doesn't get punished in Shemayim for averus that he did before he was 20 years old, but avada doesn't mean that there's some sort of scot-free. It's not possible that a person's going to be able to have to not deal with it at all. What does it mean? That's a good question. So what does it mean? What was Yitzchak Avinu telling Hashem? What does it mean? So each one of these gedolim had a different nusach in terms of explaining what it does mean. That's not for now. But what is for now is that it doesn't mean what it would seem to be suggestive of it in a literal sense, and that is that a person will never have to give din v'cheshbon for any avera that he did before he was 20 years old. That's the first ha'ara. The second ha'ara is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of days, wants to bring the ge'ula. But he realized that Yidden had averus. He didn't know what to do. So he went to Avram Avinu, Ula Yochus, maybe Avram Avinu, Kerachim Av Abanim, will come up with some defense for the Yidden to try to bail the Yidden out of this situation. And rather than defend the Yidden, Avram Avinu said, Yimachu al Kedusha Hashemecha. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Yaakov. And he thought, maybe Yaakov, he raised the Shvatim, Tzar Gidul Banim. He has so much invested. For sure he's going to have some sort of alibi. And Yaakov Avinu said the same thing that Avram Avinu said. He said, Yimachu al Kedusha Hashemecha. So then finally, as a third option, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Yitzchak. And he tells Yitzchak, Banecha Chatu. And Yitzchak goes and makes one of the great arguments of all time. And Yitzchak makes the case to save Klal Yisrael, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the argument of Yitzchak, and it ends with the Yidden being Meshabech Yitzchak, and ultimately Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ato Hashem Avinu Goyaleinu Me'olam Shemecha. It's clear in the Gemara that the Geula HaAsida is going to come somehow because of Yitzchak Avinu. The truth is that although this is not necessarily mefurish in other places, but it's hinted to. Once you have this Gemara, there's remazin to this in many places. The Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yotes Amad Beis, a classic Gemara. Darish Rav Avira, Zimnen Omel Mishmei De Rav, Zimnen Omel Mishmei De Rav Ashi. Maidich Se, Vayigdal HaYeled, Vayigom. Osid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lasoy Su'udo L'Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of days, is going to make a Su'udo V'Tzadikim. When? B'yoyim She'yigomel Chazdoy, L'Zaroy Shal Yitzchak, on the day that he's going to redeem Zaroy Shal Yitzchak. And then the Gemara goes on to say that after they're going to eat and drink, they're going to need someone to bench. Who's going to be Mechabed Oilam with benching? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Eventually, David HaMelech is going to be the one that's going to bench. David Melech's going to say, Ani avarech, v'li no'a levarech, shenema koisi shu esesu, uv'shem Hashem ekru. We always speak out the word from the Chedush Arim, that Chedush Arim said, that why was David HaMelech the one that was zoicha? Why was he the one that was zoicha to bench? Because David HaMelech throughout Sefer Tehillim was always singing shira, and he was always raising koisos, even when terrible things were happening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person that praises Hashem in the worst of times, he's the one that's going to merit to praise Hashem in the best of times. But the Gemara prefaces, this is all going to happen in the end of days. It's going to happen at a Suda. Clearly, all the tzaddikim of yesteryear, are Avos, Moshe, Yeshua, David HaMelech, they're all going to be at the Suda. But what's the name of the Suda? Says the Gemara, Asra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasoy Suda L'Tzadikim B'Yoyim She'yigom El Chazdois L'Zari Shal Yitzchak. Why is it Zari Shal Yitzchak? Zari Shal Yitzchak? Zari Shal Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Why is the emphasis on Yitzchak? I think the pshat is pashit. It's arishol Yitzchak because the geula is going to happen b'schus arishol Yitzchak. This is la'asid lavoi. In la'asid lavoi, this is all going to happen b'schus arishol Yitzchak. And because it's going to happen b'schus arishol Yitzchak, that's why it mentions zarishol Yitzchak.
You know, we all know that we say during Slichos, Misha Anas Avram Avinu Bahara Meiria, Hu Yana Eschem Yishma Bekol Tzak Eschem B'Yoyim Hazeh. So we say this in Slichos, Misha Anas Avram Avinu Bahara Meiria. But really, once upon a time, this was a bracha that the Yidden used to say, B'Shem Malchus, when they daven Shmoyne Esrei on a Tainus. It's mentioned in the Mishnah, in the beginning of the second parak in Maseches Tainus. So this was a real bracha. It was said B'Shem Malchus. It was in added to the Shmoyne Esrei. Says the Mishnah that when they ended this bracha, what was the conclusion of the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Goyal Yisrael. So Misha Onas Avram Avinu Bahara Meiria, Hu Yanes Chem Yishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Ayoyim Hazeh, Baruch Ata Hashem, Goyal Yisrael. We're invoking Akedas Yitzchak. And you want to be Messiah the bracha. So how do you conclude the bracha? Goyal Yisrael. Where do you see in Akedas Yitzchak that Hashem was Goyal Yisrael? Freak the Yerushalmi. This is a Yerushalmi. Daf Yudam it beis a Maseches Tainus. Freak the Yerushalmi. V'lo Yitzchak nigo? Wasn't it Yitzchak the one that was redeemed? Perik beis halachadal. It was Yitzchak. It wasn't Yisrael, says the Yerushalmi. Kivan shenigo Yitzchak. Kimoy shenigo lukal Yisrael. Being that Yitzchak was saved, it's as if Klal Yisrael was saved. So Pashup Pshat is because Klal Yisrael came from Yitzchak. But the truth is that had Yitzchak Avinu been killed at the Akedah, does that mean there would have been no Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael didn't need Yitzchak as much as Yitzchak needed for him to be the father of Klal Yisrael. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat that kivan shenigol Yitzchak k'may shenigolu kol Yisrael? Al pi the Gemara Masechta Shabbos daf Tei Tes Amid Beis and the diuk in the Gemara Pesachim daf Kuf Yud Tes Amid Beis, we can appreciate it a little bit better because Yitzchak is the one that's going to get up. Yitzchak is the one that's going to fight on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Parshas Va'era begins with the word. Says the Balaturim, the word va'era is begematria 208. It's the same gematria as the word Yitzchak. Says the Medrash, Yitzchak gar lehem liYisrael sheyetzim Mitzrayim. Yitzchak is the reason that the Yidden left Mitzrayim. The Rishonim, the Rosh, the Panei Achraza, the Rishonim all quote a Medrash that the Medrash says that Yitzchak's name was really supposed to be Yitzchak. With a sin. It was changed to Yitzchak with a tzadi. Why? Says the Medrash, because when Yitzchak Avinu heard that the Yidden were going to have to go into Mitzrayim for 400 years, so Yitzchak Avinu put up a fight. He told Hashem, 400 years, the Yidden are never going to be able to make it 400 years in Mitzrayim. So what else to do? They have to be 400 years. So he said, I'll make a deal with you. I'm willing to take the sin of my name, and I'm willing to switch it to a tzadi. What's the difference between the gematria of a sin and the gematria of a tzadi? Sin is 300, tzadi is 90, it's 210. If you're willing to take the sentence from 400 years to 210 years. This was his argument. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it. So whatever this means is way above our pay grade. But as I state the Medrash, that Yitzchak Avinu went from a sin to a tzadik, he deducted the 210 years, and that became, it gives us better appreciation for what Chazal say, that what's the cheshbon of 400? It's from Leidas Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? What does Yitzchak have to do with anything? The Teretz is, Va'er is begamatria Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one that plea bargained with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it starts from Leidas Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is somehow very much intertwined with Geulas Mitzrayim. What's the beer? What's the beer? It's because we know Geulas Mitzrayim was a microcosm of the Geula Asida. So Geulas Mitzrayim is a microcosm of the Geula of the Asida. The Geula Asida is all Yitzchak. Shabbos Pei Tes Amid Beis. Psochim Kufyu Tes Amid Beis. Perhaps that's the Hezbrin that Yerushalmi Perek Beis Alochot Dalit and Masechtes Tainus. Va'er is Yitzchak. Sinta, Tzadik, that's all Yitzchak. This is all Yitzchak talking. This is Yitzchak. Somehow he's going to play a role more than anybody else when it comes into the Geula Asida. But the question is why? It still leaves us hanging. What's going on over here? The Gemara is still Einayim Elder Shuni. At the end of the day, why is it going to be Yitzchak more than Avram? Why is it going to be Yitzchak more than Yaakov? So I saw a Dover Nifla in the Oitzris Divrei Yatziv Al Hashas. This is from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe said a Dover Neira. He said that La'asid Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to bring the Geula.
He said, but the problem is, Hashem is going to look around and he's going to see the Yidden don't have schosim. They don't have schosim to be redeemed. They have too many averis. They're roiv avoinis. So if they don't have the schosim to be redeemed, then there's no way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look and he's going to say, I need a schos, something. What's going to be ma'ir the geula? I can't bring the geula to a people that don't deserve the geula. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at Yitzchak and he's going to see what Yitzchak Avinu did. Yitzchak Avinu had a son, Esav. And instead of throwing Esav out of his house, and instead of disassociating himself with Esav, what Yitzchak did was he was mechav of Esav. Vayehav es Yitzchak. Even Rivka Yimeinu couldn't come to the Madrega where she can properly love Esav, the Torah says. But Yitzchak did. Yitzchak loved Esav. You know what Yitzchak showed? Yitzchak showed unconditional love for a child. For a child that maybe didn't deserve the love. But Yitzchak said, he's my son, he's Bini, and I'm going to love him. Avraham Avinu had a son, Yishmael. We don't understand this. But Kavi Yochel, Avraham Avinu told his son, Yishmael, he says, you can't live in my house anymore. You don't belong in my house. Yaakov Avinu, when his son sinned, Shimon Velevi, he gave very strong toichacha. He went after his children, very, very stark. The Birchus Yaakov, Ruvein, Bechayriyat, you deserve this, you deserve that. You're not getting it. Yitzchak was the only one of the others, said the Klaizim Megarebbe, that showed 100% unconditional love to his son Esau. La'asad love, the Yidden are going to need a schus. You know what the schus is going to be? The schus is going to be Yitzchak. The Eivish is going to see midasoy shal Yitzchak. That Yitzchak showed unconditional love for his son Esau, and that schus is going to be a geula. That when fathers show unconditional love for their children, that's what's ma'ir the geula, said the Kalaizim Megarebbe. And that's the tifkait in Yitzchak. Geulas Mitzrayim, the geula Asida, it's all Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Yitzchak. We mentioned all these different Ramaz in Va'era, the Shin and the Tzaddik. I found another Remez, the Chidah. In the Sefer Pnei David says, Nachamu, Nachamu. The words, Nachamu, Nachamu. If you add them both up, is Begematria Yitzchak. Nachamu is Begematria 104. 104 plus 104 is 208. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yoymar Alekechem, the Geula Asida, the ultimate Nechama. The ultimate Nechama is going to be in the Schus of, it's going to be in the Schus of Yitzchak. We just finished a classic Perek. I'm sorry for saying it again. Perek Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is famous for saying, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Well, that's what the Chachamim told Rabbi Akiva. He's synonymous with not just Nechama, but Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu. I think it's a very befitting way to end this parak with the words Nachamu, Nachamu, in the schus of Yitzchak Avinu.